The reading today is taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And this is on page 1179, if you've got a church Bible handy. So Philippians chapter 2, starting from verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and attitudes of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. We're currently in a sermon series here at CSK Hampton looking at our vision and values as a church, connecting with Jesus, making him known. So what does connecting with Jesus, making him known mean? Well, it means reaching out with Christian love and compassion, leading people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ, encouraging and guiding believers to mature in their faith, and working effectively with shared values. So last week together, we looked at that first imperative, reaching out with Christian love and compassion. We gave out forms at the end of the service, getting to know you better forms. There's sides to fill in on both sides. If you didn't take one last week, please can I encourage you to take one today? They'll be on the Chimes counter out just outside here. And so today we're looking at our second imperative, which is leading people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. So what does a life-changing relationship with Jesus mean? Will the change be instant and immediate? Russian comedian Yakov Smirnov said this: on my first shopping trip when visiting America, I saw powdered milk. You just add water and you get milk. Then I saw powdered orange juice. You just add water and you get orange juice. And then I saw baby powder and I thought to myself, wow, what a country. One of the most basic assumptions made about life change as a Christian is that it happens instantly at salvation. At the moment you confess that Jesus is Lord and you ask him into your life to be your Lord and Saviour. People come to Christ and think that by being a Christian, their habits, attitudes and character will change immediately. And sometimes there are instant changes. My husband was in the RAF when he gave his life to Christ. He'd been attending church for years before he actually prayed and asked Jesus into his life and was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, in the hangar where David worked, everyone used really bad language. But an instant change happened to David because he felt that he no longer wanted to join in with that kind of language. Whereas before he became a Christian, he'd just been one of the lads joining in with all the swearing. He hasn't sworn since he accepted Christ. So sometimes there can be an immediate change when God the Holy Spirit comes into your life. However, there are still things that God is working on in David's life. Life change is an ongoing process. Paul outlines the formula for life change in his letter to the Philippians, which we heard read today, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Paul explains that the Christian life is a process of ins and outs. God works in us, and while we work out, it's a partnership involving God, the individual believer, teachers, and fellow believers. It's a process where God works in, we work out, teachers work with us, and believers work together. It can be stated in a sentence: life change begins with God, is about training, requires teaching, and is a team effort. God has a major role in the life change process. We partner with God. God works in us before he can work through us. Our English word energy comes from the word translated work here in verse 13. It's God's divine energy at work in us and through us. When we give our life to Christ, our eternal destiny is altered. There should be a radical change in our priorities. There's a new life purpose for us. And there we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And rather than instant freedom from every bad habit or character flaw that we've got, the event of salvation is best seen as the beginning of a journey, as God begins his work in us that's going to lead to life change. Just as there was a process that led us up to accepting Christ as Lord and Saviour, there's also a process that moves us on towards life change. Leading people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ, we see a church where the Word of God is preached, taught, and lived out. Through his Word, God teaches us how to live. A converted cannibal in the South Sea Islands was sitting by a large pot reading his Bible when an anthropologist wearing a pith helmet approached him and said, "What are you doing?" The native replied, "I'm reading the Bible." The anthropologist scoffed and said, "Don't you know that modern civilized man had rejected that book? It's nothing but a pack of lies. You shouldn't waste your time reading it." The cannibal looked him over from head to toe and slowly replied, "Sir, if it weren't for this book, you'd be in that pot. the word of God had changed his life and his appetite. If you're serious about changing your life, you're going to have to live according to the Bible. You'll need to read it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it, and most importantly, apply it. Change rarely happens in a vacuum. Often we need the advice and wisdom of others. For Christian growth, God's plan includes the counsel and guidance of teachers. Paul was a teacher to the Philippians. He had modeled for them and instructed them in the Christ-like life. He was the teacher. They were the students. He was faithful to his calling. They were obedient to his instructions. Optimal growth occurs when we fall under someone who knows something we don't or has experience in an area we don't and is willing to share this knowledge with us. That's the role of the teacher and the learner. The responsibility of the teacher is to prepare and to present the truth. The learner's responsibility is to accept and to apply the truth. The teacher is responsible to the learner, but the teacher is not responsible for the learner. I can't make you change. I can't make you do what God asks you to do in his word. Each one of us is responsible for our own change and our own attitudes and response. Leading people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ, we see a church that has engaged in worship where the presence of God is sought, experienced, and celebrated. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God, provides the power, the conviction, and the direction for life change. The Holy Spirit acts like an internal warning system when we begin to make wrong steps, and like an applauding crowd when we take the right steps towards becoming more like Jesus. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make the child of God more like the Son of God. I'll say that again. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make the child of God, that's you and I, we're all children of God, more like Jesus, the Son of God. God also uses circumstances to change us. The circumstances are the problems, pressures, heartaches, difficulties, and stresses of life. Suffering always gets our attention. C.S. Lewis said that God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. The painful circumstances, whether we bring them on ourselves or other people cause them or the enemy Satan incites them, God is always with us in our sufferings, and the painful things are used by God to help us grow in likeness to his Son. Note what I said. The painful things are used by God. They are not caused by him. Life change is about training. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Notice that Paul doesn't say, work for your salvation. To work for something means to earn it, to deserve it, to merit it. The Bible clearly teaches that salvation is not something we have to work for. It's a free gift of God's grace. So Paul is not implying that we devise our own plan of salvation or that we work into a right relationship with Jesus. We work hard so he'll love us. We don't do it by our own efforts. The verb there, work out, carries the meaning of work to full completion, such as working out a problem in mathematics. In Paul's day, it was used for working a mine, that is, getting out of the mine all the valuable ore possible. The word was also used for working a field, so as to get the greatest harvest possible from the field. And today, in our language, we use the word to describe physical exercise, don't we? To get in the best possible shape. So when Paul says, work out your salvation, he's talking about a spiritual workout or spiritual training. You see, life change is not about trying. It's about training. Merely trying to experience life change can never bring about life change. I realized a long time ago that I'm really unfit. I would really like to be able to run 5 kilometers. So 4 weeks ago, I started following a program called Couch to 5K in 8 weeks. On day one, it took every ounce of strength for me to keep running for just 1 minute. I'm only going to be able to run 5K by training to run 5K. And training, believe me, it requires discipline. To truly live a Christ-like life, we have to order our lives around those activities, disciplines, and practices that were modeled to us by Christ. The disciplines of prayer, solitude, worship, giving, serving, and others are essential to accomplish the life change that we desire. The whole of our lives should be an act of worship to God. However, it's so important to gather together as church for corporate acts of worship. Music and song can be very powerful. God has met with me so many times during sung worship. For example, I remember a time when I was going through a very painful, difficult time. I was being bullied, accused of things that were just not true. The worship group started singing a song, a new song that I'd never heard before, called Defender. As I sang the words of that song, I knew that God was speaking to me through the words of the song, reassuring me that I wasn't alone, that he was still with me. God's presence was so comforting, and I cried as God ministered his love to me. Now, quite often people have said to me that they don't want to come to church as they know they'll cry. Or they say to me, they cried in the service and they felt embarrassed because they'd cried. Please don't feel embarrassed or uncomfortable if you cry during a service. Tears are part of a healing process. Tears are sometimes a way of God touching us and healing us and restoring us. And God's presence is often very tangible when his people worship and sing songs of praise together, as worshiping together is a team effort. We engage in spiritual growth in relationship with other believers. Just as we have a relationship with Christ, we are to have a relationship with like-minded believers who are also pursuing this intimate relationship with Jesus, seeking to become more and more like him. Life change is highly relational. Let's take Alcoholics Anonymous for example. Lives devastated and controlled by the abuse of alcohol discover radical transformation through AA's program. Many would say that the success of it is the buddy system. Every aspect of Alcohol Anonymous is saturated with the relational element. The people meet weekly as a group for sharing and support. There are small groups and individual meetings. AA capitalizes on the important relational component, which brings about true transformation. Business people and athletes talk about the power of a team. In life, we all need support. And when we get it, it brings about the change that we're desperate for. Spiritual growth was never intended to be a solo event. In the context of relationships with other believers, we receive accountability, challenge, encouragement, and personal support. That's why church and small groups are so critical to our spiritual growth and development. Life change happens best in the context of relationships. Leading people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ, we see a church where mercy, humility, and forgiveness are visible hallmarks. We all do things wrong. We all fall short of the mark. And yet, because Jesus took our sins upon himself on the cross, God shows us mercy. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. People who love one another care for one another. People who love one another, they forgive. I want to belong to a church where people speak the truth to one another in love and where people forgive one another. I will never intentionally hurt you or upset you. I would never do that. But the reality is this: human beings do hurt one another. It can result from a thoughtless moment, a throwaway comment that really wasn't meant as it was received, something being overlooked, a misunderstanding, words written in an email or text message that were not received as the writer intended. A whole spectrum of things can happen that can cause upset or hurt. If that ever happens to you, and I'm the cause of it, please, please come and speak to me. And can I also encourage you to speak to anyone else who may have upset you? Hurting people hurt people. That's the truth. Hurting people hurt people. And sometimes when we're hurting ourselves, it's very easy to hurt others. We should be quick to forgive anyone who has upset or hurt us. Matthew 6, verses 14 to 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Do you want God to forgive you? I know I certainly do. God doesn't punish us as we deserve. He's a God of mercy. We shouldn't punish others. As we receive God's mercy and forgiveness, we should pass on that mercy and forgiveness to others. Forgiving someone doesn't make what they did right. It was still wrong. Just as the things we do wrong are still wrong. Forgiveness brings release. Carrying unforgiveness hurts us. It causes bitter roots to grow inside us. It weighs us down when we're carrying around unforgiveness. Forgiving people brings restoration and healing. Leading people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ, we see a church where God's transforming love and restoration are always evident. God is good, And God is love. And God is for us. His love transforms us. It heals us. It restores us. His love and restoration for us helps to love and bring restoration to others, leading people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. We see a church where the word of God is preached, taught, and lived out, that has engaging worship, where the presence of God is sought, experienced, and celebrated, where mercy, humility, and forgiveness are visible hallmarks, where God's transforming love and restoration are always evident. If you are struggling with spiritual growth and little life change is occurring, then please consider these questions. Are you connected to Jesus? Are you allowing God to use his tools of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and circumstances? Are you in training? Are you engaged in a spiritual workout by employing spiritual disciplines? Are you submitting to teachers for instruction and guidance? Are you engaging with other believers to hold you accountable, challenge, encourage, and support your life change? Are you struggling with forgiving someone? If you're struggling in any of those areas, can I encourage you to talk to someone? Can I encourage you to ask for prayer from the prayer ministers or Zhuzhou or myself at the end of the service today? Because we'd be delighted to walk with you, to pray with you, to encourage you in your spiritual walk. Will you pray with me? Words from the beginning of our reading today. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you looking to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for revealing yourself to us and for your amazing love for us. Forgive us when we fail to reflect your love. Be close to us in our pain and sufferings. Help us to grow spiritually. Reveal to each of us individually and as a church what we can do so that our life-changing relationship with you deepens day by day. In your name we pray. Amen.